An expert lover, say ancient writers of erotica, should be well versed in the 64 techniques of lovemaking and the other 64 arts and sciences of living. There are 8 subsections to the following set of 8 subjects: embraces, kisses, nail marks, love bites, love cries, sexual postures, role reversal, and oral sex. Today we will learn about embraces and passion from the Kama Sutra, followed by parts 5 and 6 of our comprehensive study about consecration. The theme of today's meditation will be the state of consecration, during which we mysteriously move closer to God. Stay tuned together with your yogi host, Valentino and Tiger Lily. Hello, and welcome to Tantra FM, the light that sets you free. I'm your host, Tiger Lily. Of embraces and passion. Let's learn together the story of embraces and passion from the Kama Sutra. An expert lover, say ancient writers of erotica, should be well versed in the 64 techniques of lovemaking and the other 64 arts and sciences of living. There are 8 subsections to the following set of 8 subjects: embraces, kisses, nail marks, love bites, love cries, sexual postures, role reversal, and oral sex. Embracing in style. On a very basic level, embraces have been clubbed together into 4 kinds: touching, piercing, rubbing, and pressing. Each denotes the intensity of passion. You can move close to her on some flimsy excuse and touch her body gently, or she might come up to you in a lonely place and let her body brush you, as if to touch you. If a woman, on finding you in a lonely place, bends down as if to pick up something she has dropped, and in the process gently brushes against you, these are signals that you are attracted to each other. However, if you are already lovers, then you can go straight to a more direct approach. You walk together in the dark or in a secluded place, and your bodies hug each other's contours. Or one of the lovers pushes the other literally up against a wall, and they then explore each other's bodies. Experienced lovers can try 4 more kinds of embrace: the twine of a creeper, climbing a tree, sesame and rice, and the milk and water embrace. Of these, the first 2 are done while standing. When she clings on to you as a creeper twines around a tree, pulls your head towards her expectantly, hoping you'll kiss her hard and look at you with love in her eyes, it is the embrace of the twining of a creeper. When she places a foot on yours and tries to lift the other around your back, as if to climb a tree trunk, moaning softly as if asking for a kiss, it is the climbing of a tree embrace. The last 2 embraces can only be done in the comfort of a good bed and can often, without warning, dissolve into lovemaking. You lie close together, arms entwined, breasts rubbing the body, hands exploring newer places, head pulled close to a kiss. This rubbing together is called sesame and rice. When she sits on your lap facing you and winds her legs around you with her groin pushing into you, oblivious of pain, locked together, it is called the irrevocable mixture of milk and water. 4 more kinds of embraces have been classified by Suvarnanabha, according to the parts of the body used, i.e. embraces of the thighs, groin, breasts and the forehead, as follows. In the thigh embrace, the beloved locks one of her thighs between your thighs, squeezing hard and lapping up the pleasure it gives. In the groin embrace, she lifts her lovely thighs, pushing them into yours, kneading her groin as she scratches you with her nails, and steals kisses as her hair tumbles around you. In the breast embrace, she rides astride you with her breasts pushing against you. In the forehead embrace, equal erotic pleasure can be achieved as forehead touches forehead, eyes come together, noses rub each other, and finally the lips trace patterns around the other's face. ancient writers explain that even the description of embraces stirs desire in most human beings, since it puts the old wheel of passion into motion. Once this is done, forget all the rules spelt out in the Kama Sutra.
This is Tantra FM, the light that sets you free. I am your host, Valentino. On Consecration, Part 5. Question. Recently, a Japa Yoga book was published in which there are some secret mantras. Is it okay to take information from there and use it? Answer. If you have the initiation in those mantras, you can use them. Those of you who have not received the initiation, even if you want to use them, if you do not have a certain level of spiritual evolution, and especially if you do not reach perfection in Yoni Mudra, you will see that your actions with them will be fruitless. However, if you have attained perfection in Yoni Mudra, you can use any mantra, with the exception of Parabeja, which requires exceptional inner preparation, and about which I will not speak here. So, if you are capable of performing Yoni Mudra perfectly, you can do it. But, whenever you use a mantra, you should try to stick with it until it becomes clear that you have obtained some sort of spiritual progress, because otherwise you will find that your work with a lot of mantras will only confuse you, because there are tens of thousands, and you should not forget that you only have one existence, and if you keep on accumulating mantras, and even if some entities from the astral plane come into your dreams and reveal 200 more mantras to you, you will only have the accumulated mantras, and that is all. Some books are full of these mantras, but this does not mean that their authors have attained a high spiritual level. The same applies to you. Let's say you have 700 initiations and 700 mantras, and you know 700 forms of Laya Yoga, you are still unevolved. It is more important to accomplish real spiritual progress using only one mantra. If you are in the karmic situation that you know 7 mantras for 7 cosmic powers, but you are still absent-minded, careless, jealous, confused, and so forth, then you can say that you know them in vain. If you use at least one when you should, and you really achieve a fundamental, radical, clear inner transformation, which can be noticed and admired by others, who will say, "You were stupid before and now you are clever, you had no vitality and now you are full of vitality," that is good. But if you go on accumulating mantras without going any deeper, you will notice that it is not that big of a deal at all. Question: are martial arts a spiritual path? Answer: yes, to the extent to which they are really integrated as a ways of spiritual evolution. Nowadays in the West, they are distorted and their spiritual message is lost. When one who trains in karate maintains the idea, "There is an opponent in front of me and I have to kill or destroy him somehow," then it has nothing to do with any spiritual path. In fact, it becomes quite dangerous and a deviation from an authentic spiritual path. We do not have the necessary time to present how things are with the martial arts as a spiritual path, but if you want, you can read the traditional books about martial arts, and you will notice the discrepancy between what they are in reality and what is practiced now. Unfortunately, the karate practitioner of today is full of themselves and very proud that he can beat 20 people with his bare hands, and he has a very disharmonious manipura. There is a big difference between them and how the real masters behaved, for they had attained a very high spiritual level. Question: can the prayer "Our Father" said before an action replace the consecration? Answer: no. It can at most create in our being a state of communion with God, but it cannot replace the consecration, because consecration is an offering given directly to God, to whom we offer the fruits of our actions. it does not have any connection to the prayer. I can say Our Father to feel close to God, but this does not mean that I've offered Him the fruits of my actions as well. They are two different things. We should not be confused about this. If you feel that it is difficult to open up towards God in order to realize the consecration, you can say Our Father before that. When you say Our Father, you should feel a state of empathic communion. You should embrace what God gives you when you say Our Father with feeling, and after that, you can make the consecration. To say Our Father and to feel the state of communion with God, and after that to say, okay, I have consecrated and I can now make love with my lover, I have consecrated and God answered me, does not have any efficiency from the standpoint of karmic unconditioning. Because the act of offering the fruits of our actions is a separate act which has nothing to do with Our Father. Our Father is Our Father, and consecrating the fruits of our actions to God is something else. They are different things and they should not be mixed up. On Consecration, Part 6. Question: is it enough when we consecrate to say, in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, and to make the sign of the cross 3 times? Answer: no, because this is just an action of integration within the Trinity. If after we do this, we say within ourselves or out loud, O Heavenly Father, I offer you the fruits of the action which I'm about to perform, and I implore you to make me understand and realize if you accept it, then it is correct. After that, wait in a state of inner focus for the divine, transfiguring flow, like a sublime and ecstatic breeze, to come over you and to flood your entire being. If it does, this means that your consecration was received, and the fruits of the action you're going to perform now belong to God. To only say Our Father, or in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, while making the sign of the cross 3 times, and then perform the action, would only ask for supplementary help from God for the action which you're about to engage in, but its fruits will still belong to you. God can take the fruits only if you clearly and distinctly offer them to Him. Consecration is still and will always be an act of free will. And to further clarify things, I will tell you a story to make you understand how consecration functions, even in the infernal planes. When I was in prison, I stayed in the same cell with a man who was sentenced to death for his crimes. Knowing that I practiced yoga, he became more inclined to confess things to me. Once, he told me that long ago, he had been attracted by a sorcerer somewhere in Transylvania, who saw in him some special properties which would have allowed him to become the magician's successor, and thus obtain his malefic powers. The magician confided in him and taught him his horrible practice. On one occasion, he noticed something that not even the sorcerer could explain. This is how that story goes. One day, they were hired to kill someone using witchcraft, and the one who asked for that action brought the sum of money and 7 black hens, as the magician asked. Afterwards, the hens were put into a room where a demon was going to come and eat them. The hens were offered as kind of a pledge for the malefic act that he was going to perform. The apprentice entered the room together with the magician and noticed that it was pitch black. Even the windows were nailed shut and covered with thick blankets. The hens were locked in the room, and the man asked in wonder, "What will happen now? Will the spirit come and take the hens?" The wizard answered, "I am not allowed to enter and see what he is doing. If you want, you can stay here at the door and listen, but if you enter, he will kill you." The man remained and listened at the door. What he heard was exactly as if someone would have appeared and chased the hens all over the room. He heard strange noises. The hens were clucking and screaming, a sign that something terrible was going on, as if they were really being taken away, one by one. And after that, there was only silence. There was an interval of time in which they could not enter the room. The wizard said, "We cannot enter now, but after the forbidden period, we can open the door." And so they did, and to the bewilderment of our man, there was nothing there, not even a feather. The man then asked, "If the spirit has so much power, why doesn't he just take the hens? Why does he need somebody to bring them here and to put them in this room? Why doesn't he just take them by himself? Well, he cannot, answered the sorcerer. Why? The sorcerer didn't really know, but I can tell you the reason. Because these creatures were consecrated to this demon, and thus he could take them. As for any other hand that was not specifically consecrated to him, the demon had no power upon it and he could not touch it. But in the moment when they were consecrated to him, he could take them at any time. It is clear that he made them disappear. He vaporized them. He took them into another dimension. They were no longer there, and it was completely out of the question that they would ever reappear. So, nobody really knows where they went, but they no longer existed. I did not tell you this story so you can follow this terrible example, but you need to understand the importance of consecration. You must realize that the disappearance of the hens was possible only due to the fact that they were offered to the infernal forces, and only after they had been offered could they be taken, and not otherwise.
Hello, and welcome to Tantra FM, the light that sets you free. I'm your host, Tiger Lily. Let us perform a meditation with the following theme, the state of consecration. In order to help our concentration and to create a better resonance with the aspect we are meditating upon, we shall use a musical support. Sit down on a chair with your spine straight or assume a meditation pose, such as Sukhasana, Vajrasana or Padmasana. For those of you who are still unfamiliar with these positions, you can learn about them on www.shivashakti.com. Make sure your spine, neck and head are straight and in a vertical position. Relax your entire body. Empty your mind and acquire a strong inner focus. Do not allow anything to disturb your concentration at this point. Start breathing deeply and rhythmically. With each inhalation, imagine that you are bringing peace and harmony into your being. Also, with each exhalation, imagine that you are eliminating all tension, stress, and anything else that might disturb your meditation. Now we are ready to begin. It is time to focus our mind and meditate upon the state of consecration. That's all we have time for today. I'm Tiger Lily, wishing you love and light.